Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show. Our job here is to bring you great information to help you improve your practice and your life. And we did a recent webinar. I thought I would share it on the podcast. It was awesome. We had so many people on there because it was such a hot topic. It was called Unlock the Power of Patient Commitment. Strategies to drastically reduce cancellations with Christina Byrne, Miranda Beeson, and Dr. Barrett Straub. It is awesome. We walk you through a treatment plan that will help you dramatically reduce cancellations. Please listen up and please share with your team. I hope you guys enjoy it. We'll see you soon. Today, we're going to be talking about, unlock the power of patient commitment, strategies to dramatically reduce cancellations. Cancellations are a big problem. They can kill your practice. They can kill your morale. They can kill momentum. And we're going to give you some very specific strategies. So I do want you to take notes, ask questions, throw them in the chat. We're here to help you. I hope you get a ton out of this webinar and you share it with everybody in your practice.
You know what, Kirk? Hang on one second. You only shared with the host and the panelist. So let me see if I can. You have to select if you want to send it to all the attendees.
Okay.
So like right before
to all those listening, we'll do some training for Kirk before next time.
This Zoom. Is all new to him.
You know,
are going to help you in
hold on
here.
As you're already figuring out, I'm the last one that should be pushing any buttons around here.
You just did it again.
You did it again.
Did I?
When you say two, you got to click the host and panelist blue and hit everyone.
There you go. You got it this time, buddy. Yeah.
Did I get it?
You got it.
We're going to get there somehow.
Eighth time's a charm. All right.
Hey, I get by with a little help from my friends. How's that?
All right. I hope everybody can see it now.
Yeah. Well, welcome. Our goal here is to be the most helpful company ever to help you create a better practice. But you can say we geek out on this stuff. I could talk for 4 hours on this alone, but we won't. We'll spend an hour doing it. Now, if you registered for the webinar, one of the things that you already have is a golden ticket. So one of the coolest things we've ever created is called the To the Top Study Club. It's a study club where we nurture some of the best thinkers from all over the country in a curriculum, and we meet with them quarterly in person. We also meet with them virtually, and we get them surrounded with great thinkers. The biggest problem in your practice is not the problem itself. It's how you think. And if there's one gift you could give yourself as a leader is to think better on a regular basis. And I love the To the Top Study Club because I never wanted to be the smartest person in any room. And now I'm clearly not. So once a quarter, we have two groups now running. Our first quarter, we had 53 in the first group, and I think 47 in the second group. Yes. And so if you want to join us, you can join us for free with a golden ticket. If you're a doctor, you can kick the tires and be our guest. Come hang out with us. Take all the information. Your brain will hurt. I promise you. You're going to learn how some of the best thinkers are doing this in their own practices. And if you hate it, let's high five, take all the material and call it a good day. I know that won't happen. That's how much we believe in the To the Top Study Club. And our next one is in April. How you redeem the ticket is you're going to reach out to Gina on our team, G-I-N-A. And that is her email address, gina@actdental.com. And she will facilitate everything. She's going to be the host with the most and make sure you feel really welcome. And we highly encourage you to join us. And so you'll see a couple of things.
I want to just put one little thing out there. So the dates are April 19th and April 26th. The 19th is pretty close to being sold out right now. So it's about a month out and I see the registrations coming in and I just want to let everybody know 26th, we have a couple of seats, but the 19th is getting pretty sold out. So even if you're a client and you're a To the Top member and you haven't registered, get yourself registered now if that's the date you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Chris. And as you can see, the time is from 8 to 3. I want you guys to all be home with your families, be home, It's going to be a lot of information. I've taken way too many courses in my life that were 3-day courses. And my thought was, this could have been a 1-day course. We do the opposite. We put a 3-day course in 1 day. Your brain will hurt, but it'll be a lot of information. And it's the scaffolding that you can use to go back and create a better practice and better life. So join us, please. And we're constantly evolving, improving things. One of our core values here is always be growing. And so we love this stuff so much that now you're going to see different layers to what we do. And if you've never joined us before, you know, this is kind of how it all works. There's three things that we do pretty much for the most part. The first thing that we do is you can do it on your own. You can join us in the BPA, which is the Best Practices Association. You're going to see a lot of this information. You're going to see clinical classes back there. You're going to see awesome forums where you can actually ask questions and people can help you. And you're going to see everything that we're doing. We're putting them back there in tools. You can have it at your fingertips. It's $99 a month. You should join. It's that easy. If you hate it, join for 1 month and go, that was terrible. That won't happen. So you can do it on your own. The second thing you can do is you can do it in a group, and that's a To the Top Study Club. It's very dangerous to try to figure out anything on your own. That's why we created groups, groups that'll help you think better. And the To the Top Study Club is an incredible opportunity for you guys to join us. And then lastly, for the serious students here, we have what's called our one-on-one coaching with our expert team of coaches. If you've just tried everything and you're like, man, I'm just tired, and my team is tired of listening to me, here's a little hint. Here at ACT Dental, my team's heard me talk too much. That's why I have a coach. Yes, coaches even have coaches. Because the cool thing about working with a coach is you don't have to think about anything. All I got to do is show up. Now, I do get to make all the decisions about vision, but that is our top tier product. It's called Pro Coaching. And if you're interested, feel free to reach out to us. We will help you get this done. And that is what we do. We are your accountability partners, helping you create a great practice and a great life. And you've already experienced a lot of our great coaches. Christina and Miranda's on. We have an incredible group of coaches. So if you're ever wondering what we do, that's what we do. Join us. Work at your own pace. Take your own journey to the top. And you'll see, we'll put all of these sessions back here. As we're learning, we're going to constantly save them, organize them in a way that you can digest them 24/7 on your own. So the platform has all of the learning back there, as well as the forums, and that will constantly evolve. And we even have an app where you can take it with you on a plane, you know, on a walk, whatever you want, with some of the best clinical minds. And it's funny that Zversky's there. Zversky is going to be with us tomorrow, the top expert in the world in oral path. I don't know how you can make that funny, but he can. It is hilarious. You should join us in our master classes. And we save all the master classes. So if you miss them, you can watch them on your own. And you can share them with your teams. So it's great stuff. Make sure you join us back in the BPA. So let's get to it. We're going to be talking about cancellations. And I want you guys to chime in because this is a very, very big deal. Now, the handout, I hope everybody can get it. Should I add it one more time? So
it'll
I'll
be
add
in the
this,
email but, also, Kirk, that mm-hmm. goes out okay. after for those that registered. So I would download okay. it now, but if not, it'll come out again.
Totally. So I'm going to follow this, and I want you to be able to retain this, use it over and over and over again. Go back to this recording. So again, if you're the only person on your team and you're watching this, take the handout. Then go back into BPA and go, we're going to rewatch this together because this is a big deal for us. Because when you reduce cancellation, having high cancellations is not a little problem. It's a huge problem. An empty chair is not no profit. It's negative profit. So it's a big deal. And a lot of teams react. Did you freeze up? You guys froze up for a second. So I don't know what happened there. Can you hear
it
me?
It might be you.
It might be
somebody posted in the chat that it's asking for a code. They found it now. Like I think right. probably us all looking at the same time at the chat.
Yeah, that could okay. be. And I'm uploading it right now again into the chat. So there we go. It okay. should be there for everybody.
Cool. Well, I want to start with why this is so important. It's so important because it's one of the most frustrating things for a dental practice owner is seeing these holes. When you see these holes, that vein is coming out of your neck. And while everybody else might not think it's that important, you know it's important. It keeps you up at night. It causes lower profitability. It creates more anxiety and more effort when you don't have a patient in your chair. And when your schedule falls apart, it goes directly to the bottom line. Our production suffers. And so there's got to be a lot of confidence in our plan and how to prevent them. We're going to talk about the different types of cancellations, but I want you guys to add, Chris, Barrett, Miranda, anything else you'd add about the why? Because the why is always the most important piece of anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, as you said, it's not zero profit, it's negative profit. And I would be curious to see how many team members are on this webinar, because I know I've admitted in the past when I was working clinically and I had an opening in my day, I was so excited. Like, I was like, hey, and now knowing what I know about the business side of this, it makes me feel so bad. I try to apologize to my doctor every time I see her, like, oh, I feel bad now that I was so excited to have a cancellation in my schedule. But it really is important to make sure that that schedule gets full, not just from the clinical team, but your admin team is scrambling to fill that schedule. And so not only are they just spending so much time trying to do that, but every other task and responsibility that they have is getting put on hold so that they can do that. And, you know, we think, oh, our admin teams are amazing, and they are, and they are just spending so much time filling that schedule that they're just not getting the other stuff done that they really need to get done to run the business.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that too, because if your broken appointment percentage is 12%, most of you don't even know what it is, and we're going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But if your broken appointment percentage is 12%, which means they were broken against their original intended purpose, that means people don't respect you and cancellations are happening a lot. And if you have three people at the front, they spend 75% of their entire day putting out fire after fire after fire after fire, reaching to the bottom of the river, grabbing that mud and slapping it into the schedule because they know your head's going to spin around and green puke's going to come out if you see an empty chair. And my point is, what a horrible waste of their day. You have three amazing people at the front and all they do is put out fires. What a terrible waste of their time. So this is a bigger deal than you might think. And I want to talk about the types of cancellations. There's two types. Miranda, can I call on you?
Yes, I absolutely, you can call on me. Just, you want me to explain the two types?
Yeah, because now here's what's really fun. Chris and I are the main guests here, but Miranda constantly bends my brain because I'm like, oh my gosh, I had a whole thing on cancellations, but I'm like, I left out one of the most important pieces here. It's the clarification of two types. Can you?
Yeah, I thought I was off the hook today. I'm teasing. I just always look at it in this way. There's unavoidable and there's avoidable cancellations. And we were talking about this on the Office Manager Study Club yesterday. We can't hold people accountable if they're genuinely sick. Like if you have the flu and a fever, you're breaking your appointment. That's different than I woke up and drove to work and completely forgot that I had an appointment today. And now your phone's ringing and you're like, oh crap, I'm going to ignore that call because I forgot I had a dentist appointment. Or you've chosen to electively do something else with your time. And so you're going to break your appointment. Or I need to get this work done. I'm just going to call them and tell them I'm not coming in. But if your car is broken down on the side of the road, or I've had people call and cancel that they were in an accident on the way to the office, those are unavoidable. So when we talk about giving someone some grace, we need to also be able to document so that we know, yes, they've had four broken appointments, but those were all really unavoidable broken appointments. That's different to me than the avoidable kind, which is they forgot, something else came up. There's an emotional barrier like fear or anxiety that we can help them through if we know, or they actually lack a value. That's on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very well said. Very well said. And so, you know, it's a serenity prayer, controlling what I can and then praying about the rest and having the wisdom to know the difference here is really important. And so we're going to talk about prevention strategies, making dentistry a part of your patient's lifestyle. We got to be able to build value. That is truly one of the biggest things. Now, I personally, I'll say this forever. I think money spent on dentistry is one of the best investments a human being can make. I believe time spent in a dental practice to improve your oral health is a great investment of time. I believe what we do as dental professionals is wildly valuable. And I also believe that if you cancel on me, that is not okay. You know what I mean? It's not okay. You should never say when somebody cancels, it's okay. Don't worry. No, that's not okay.
We did talk about this yesterday in the Office Manager Study Club. And just FYI, we have an Office Manager Study Club, which is really cool. And it's so funny that this was our topic yesterday. And that is a hard thing. Miranda and I were actually chatting about it in the group yesterday, that it's so hard as a human to not say that's okay or it's okay, but really have to be, it's kind of like your bug eyes, Kirk. It's kind of like you have to be quiet and just accept it, say thank you, and move on. But just try to, if you get one thing to take away, try to stop saying it's okay.
Yeah. I'll give you a little tip too. One of the things to do is just in your brain, tell yourself, I don't fix teeth. I change lives. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a bigger responsibility, because there are two types of practices. There are people that just fix teeth and work on teeth, and that's okay. That's a big part of the market. Not those of you listening to this. It's changing lives. Like, it's not about me fixing your teeth, putting a crown in your mouth. I want to keep you healthy. You're going to live a long time. Patients go, I'm not going to live very long. I go, no, you're going to change that story. You're going to live a long time, and we're going to keep you healthy. And it starts with this hole under your nose that I have to help you protect. And so I think it's one of those things you just got to think better about what we do. And then make sure the appointment is more about, you know, the treatment. You're not just coming back to get something done. It's part of the plan. So Barrett, I'm going to call on you. What do you think about that one? Oh, he's not even equipped with the. All right.
There I am. I'm back. Yeah, it's a mindset. And what Chris said is, if you know, the habit is to say it's okay, and it doesn't take much. You don't have to be mean, but you just have to get that message across. Like, this canceling's, it happens, and it is a big deal. You know, and so there's just some training and some mindset with your team, and it becomes kind of a habit, and you can rectify a lot of cancellations and no-shows just by how you enable or don't enable those people when they call you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And just, I mean, before we get started in the semantics, it's always good to, we're going to show you how to say what to say, but like at the end of the day, if I'm a hygienist, I want you to keep these teeth, retain the shape of this gorgeous face. I want you to live a long time. So it's bigger than your teeth. And so that's where it has to start, because your patients are going to feel that. It doesn't matter what you say. I'm looking in your eyes when you're talking to me, and your eyes tell me a lot. Your eyes tell me how much you care. Your eyes tell me how invested you are in this relationship. So that's a big one. And the next thing I would say is, make sure there's a firm reservation. Don't ever pencil somebody in. Make their next appointment chairside. There's a huge difference between commitment and compliance. Those are two different things. People just comply, go, yeah, just get the heck out of here. I'll just say yes. I'm going to make sure you're committed before you leave this chair. You got to know why we're coming back. I'm going to let you know my time's valuable, your time's valuable. And you guys, clinically, I'm going to put this on you, should be the first to remind the patient of the importance of the... You know, I know it's nobody listening, but a lot of times we just throw that responsibility at the person at the front, or we don't really take on that responsibility as the provider. And then we go, hey, good luck with that one. We pull the pin in of the grain and throw it at the front. And the team member at the front's doing the best that they can, but they weren't part of that conversation. So I think it's real. The onus is on the clinical provider first, before it goes up to the front. And then I do like this one. Can I count on you to be here? That's a big question. Any thoughts on that one, Chris?
So yes, I think that's a great way to put it. And to, you know, ask the patient if we can count on them, right? Like, I'm going to be here. I hope you're going to be here too. This is really important. Making sure that they have some reason to return, not just for their next cleaning, right? Giving them something concrete that we're going to follow up with in 3, 4, or 6 months, and then do it, right? So that's where your chart notes are going to be so important. If you talk to them about the bleeding on the mesial 14, put that in your notes so that the next time they're in the chair, you bring it up and you address it right away. Because then they're going to remember, like, oh, that's right, you did talk about that 6 months ago. And so there'll be this thread between all of the appointments. And then one other thing I wanted to to mention, and I see Miranda just put this in the chat, is please ask questions through the chat if you don't mind. There's a Q&A box as well. We want to be able to get to your questions in the moment. I know this is really a hot subject, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So then you got to have a system. I love systems for everything. I like systems for toilet paper. I like systems for answering the phone. I like systems for checking out. And you got to have a system for appointment reminders. I like the idea of considering all appointments confirmed when they're reserved. I heard that many years ago, and I love that. I heard a hygienist say, Mrs. Jones, we consider all appointments confirmed when scheduled. Now, in the event you'd like a reminder, I'm happy to do that. But make no mistake, you'll be here and so will I. I was like, and they said it nicer than that. But that was the point. It's like, I'm not putting this in here in hopes of you showing up. So I think their clear language at the beginning is really important. And again, back to the confirming. Now, if you're in San Francisco or New York, I've noticed this trend. People in New York do not like the word confirm. Because confirm implies, are you coming? You know what I mean? Like, I actually agree with that. In the Midwest, we're all good people and we, you know, just kind of go with it. I mean, especially from your Wisconsin, you go, yeah, no, okay, yeah, great, okay. So we add all these different words that are like very confusing, but, you know, confirming your appointment, I'm happy to remind you. But I need to know, we're going to confirm this right now. Like, you're going to be here. And I think it does. It's not so much being strong with the language. It's making sure that they know why that they need to be here. That's the bigger thing. And offering them a reminder. And then take advantage of automated reminder systems. People always ask me, well, there's automations. Well, automations support the process. They don't create the process. I think that's the important piece. Would you guys agree or disagree with that? Miranda, agree. So you got your, yeah.
Miranda.
I had my hand raised because there's a question in the chat, but yes. Chris, if you're, feel free to.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is to be clear that everybody in this country is nice, not just people.
I was going to ask, what do you think about those of us in the South? But
you know what? I'm so
Midwest
sorry.
Nice.
Midwest, we'll have a whole webinar on Midwest nice. It's very like, never mind.
Well, you're talking to two ladies here from the East Coast, so.
Right.
There is
was that your question, Miranda?
No, okay. There's an actual question in the chat. Do you typically request a confirmation reservation deposit?
Ooh, great question. You guys go. What do you think? Go ahead.
I think it can be situational, right? It can depend on the level of service, the amount of time that you're talking about from the doctor's schedule. If it's a 6-hour sedation case or something like that, then absolutely. Also situationally, if I have a patient, and we're going to talk about, how we look at our patients' behaviors a little bit later, but someone who has shown us that they are having a hard time keeping the appointment, that might be somebody who we can request a deposit to make the appointment, to reserve the appointment time.
Yeah. Any metrics would show you the higher the price of anything, the more people want commitment at a lower level. If any of you used OpenTable at an exclusive restaurant, a lot of them want a $100 deposit just to make sure. Now, they don't need the $100. They need your commitment.
Exactly.
I would say this. I wouldn't do it at the lower level things. My question, I would have a question about your question is like, is this happening a lot? Because the money is not going to fix it. But I would say to echo the sentiments, Chris, yeah. A big restorative case, of course. If you're going to get 3 hours of my time, you got to have some skin in the game for me to schedule. So I do think that's important. Great question. Great questions. Now, we have a handout that's part of this download, and it's the 10 best practices for reducing cancellations. This is a little bit of the how in there. And I think it echoes what we've talked about. We'll cover a few of these, but I think ultimately it's a value issue. The higher the value you and your team have for what you do, you're going to see the less this becomes an issue. The lower the value, cancellations are everywhere. You have to value your time. In order for me to serve you and you to show up, I have to value my time. I've got to create value for you to value it. It first has to change right here. Gary DeWood said last night, he's like, whose mind has to change first? Ours does, before the patient's mind will change. And I agree with that completely. Right. And the other thing you got to remember is we got to create value for patients. Like, I don't like the word cleaning. I hate the word clean. Cleaning is what happens in your office after you leave. Right. Don't use the word cleaning. Like, ugh. Like, and also on the restorative side, just don't say you're just a dentist. No, if you're just a dentist, you're just like everybody else. It's just a crown. No, don't say that. Like, we have to value what we do. What we do is way more than dentistry. So I'm going to let you know that this is bigger than teeth. And so creating value, and everybody does, it's called interpreting value. Great servers and amazing restaurants create value at the table. Let me share with you what we're going to have tonight. It's hand-selected beef. Like, they use it with language. And I think the same thing applies. Language matters in your practice. I also want to say that all cancellations start at chair. All of them. They might happen later at the front, but the real issue was the chair-side conversation. Again, it's about owning the responsibility of the chair and the column. We'll talk about the capacity tracker here in a second, but don't, I think we got to get our minds right that cancellations don't happen on the phone. They happen at the chair.
Right. And then can I go back to that one too? That speaks to the whole idea, and all three of the top three that you have here are all around like reducing your minimizing language, right? So just a dentist, just a cleaning, a little bit of bleeding, a small cavity, small buccal pit. The patient doesn't know what that is, but they think a pit, oh gosh, that's nothing. I don't have to come back for that appointment. So try to remember, it's not just about who you are and what the value of the time is, but every single thing that we do has value, and we shouldn't minimize that, because any bleeding is not healthy. Any decay or carious lesions or anything like that is not healthy. So we have to try to stay away from that minimizing language, because the patients, they hear that more than they hear what the actual issue is.
Yeah. Shout out to Deborah Nash. She's like, anytime the word just is used, we should attack it. She's like, even on the phone, don't ever call a patient and go, I'm just calling to remind. No, I'm calling to talk about your very important appointment tomorrow. That's a subtle shift in your language, but you can see how it's very different and it creates a different level of value. So I love what you said about that, Chris. And again, you got to know the data. We're going to talk about the data in a second, but data removes all emotions. If this is a big problem, the data should show. And we'll show you a little bit about how that works here in a second. And we already mentioned this one, consider all appointments confirmed when scheduled. I do like this one, scheduling out hygiene appointment for 6 months plus 2 weeks. Miranda, you have a question.
Just to the point that you just made around considering it confirmed, someone did ask in the Q&A, so if I ask, would you need us to remind you? So as you mentioned earlier, like, we like to consider every appointment confirmed when we reserve that time. Would you still like a reminder? The question is, if they say no, then do you remove them from the automated reminder system?
No, my answer might be different. I'd say no, you're still getting a reminder.
I might say it like, would you like an additional reminder? Like, we're going to remind you, but would you like an additional reminder for this appointment? And even, just be transparent, right? We have an automated system. You're going to get a text. It's going to happen. Would you like an additional reminder?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. And then this is about 15 years old. I think everybody should be aware of this protocol. You never schedule patients at 6 months. For 1,000 reasons, if you've ever received the Delta Dental 5-month, 28-day letter, it's the dumbest letter that's ever been created. You want to just get outside of that window and create some space. Dentists hate spaces. They hate spaces in conversation. They hate spaces in teeth. They hate spaces in their schedule. Spaces are beautiful beyond 6 months. You shouldn't be booked 8 months solid in hygiene. You have no room to move when it comes to perio. Creating space is good. You also need to start doing patient selection, which we're going to talk about in a second. Not every patient is great for your practice. There's 331 million people in the United States. You do not need all of them in your dental practice. So we want to create some space so we can start doing patient selection because your favorite patients care about the things that you care about. So make sure you include this in your protocol. And a big piece of it, again, language matters, is stop using the word cancellation. Cancellation implies violation. When you say cancellation, like if you say, hey, Mrs. Jones, we had a cancellation today. I'd love to get you in. You might as well just trade that out for violate. Hey, Mrs. Jones, somebody violated us today. I hope you don't violate us either. So I know it's real, but cancellation should never happen in a great business. Or here's a worse one. Yeah, that happens all. People cancel on us all the time. Don't ever say that. You know, so I think it's one of those things we have to be specific with our language. Miranda.
I like to use the word opportunity.
Ooh.
When you're calling to recover time that's been canceled, I like saying we've had an opportunity become available in our schedule. Would you like to take advantage of that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that one. And I also love change in schedule, because change in schedule implies you're taking something potentially very negative and you're framing it positively. Mrs. Jones, how lucky are you? We've had a change in schedule. We can now see you this afternoon or tomorrow.
I do love that language. To make it seem like this is a rarity, right? Like yeah. This never happens.
Yeah.
And I thought of you immediately when this time became available.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. And ultimately, what you want to do is continue to collect data, start coding patients' behaviors. Now, in a previous webinar, you heard Barrett and I talk about 5 codes. But for real simple purposes today, you want to start putting a code in there for a behavior, which would be no show, late, and cancel. I think everybody listening to this would agree. Those are 3 separate behaviors. And what we're going to do is code behaviors. When people are late, we're going to put it in as a code. And I highly encourage you to create your own code. Don't use the ADA codes, because they will actually record a visit if you're using an analytics software. But you can create these codes, and you can also have schedule alerts that work with the codes. So for instance, the 3rd time that your cancellation code is entered, you can have a schedule alert pop up and say, this is the 3rd time this code has been put in for this patient. Now, what's really cool for a team member at front is they can say, you know how patients only remember what they want to remember. You're actually recording data. So when you print out the patient's ledger, you're going to see these codes, and these codes will all run down the page, and they will coincide with the appointment that the patient has in their iPhone. And they'll go, oh yeah, okay, cool. So you can say, Mrs. Jones, as you can see, it looks like our schedules aren't matching up. The big piece of this is you want to make sure that you've got some type of objective way of evaluating whether or not people fit into your practice. Barrett.
I was going to say, we also just need to define, and each practice has to define where their line in the sand is. So if your policy is 48 hours, then if they call 3 days in advance, that's not a cancellation. That's a rescheduled appointment. If they call less than 48 hours, that's a cancellation. So if you draw that line, then it is okay outside of that line. Right. You know, so you could decide that. Same with what is late. Is that 5 minutes? Is that 20 minutes? I always said 10 minutes. So you got to talk with your team and what happens when that person is late. Are we going to see him? Are we not going to see him? Are we going to see him for a shorter appointment? What language are we going to use? So define what it is, draw your line in the sand, and then form your systems around that.
Yeah. A big thing of what Barrett just said, this is so healthy in any relationship. It's called boundaries. So it's not about being a jerk or being mean. Like, here's the boundaries, and we're going to keep you in bounds here on how our relationship works. So I love that.
I think the most important thing is to actually start tracking it, because we don't know. You know, we can make up stories. It can feel like we've had a million cancellations, or it could feel like our schedule's always full. And a lot of times our schedule looks full because we don't know what's happening at the front, how hard those ladies are working to get that schedule to stay full and to fill those holes when they happen. So I think just tracking it to start with, and, you know, we're going to talk about the capacity tracker, but being able to put these codes in and utilize them in your system and understanding how many times this is happening, because that's going to help you make better business decisions and also help you to evaluate if your systems are working and what you need to tweak or do differently.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And To the point, Barrett, line in the sand, I believe three cancellations is where you find out really where people are at. And then you can have a conversation. Now, this is really, I'm having fun with you guys. Once you start coding behavior, you know who the most misbehaved patients are. They're related to the dentist. You can say, hey, your sister's crazy. Look at how many times she's canceled. Should I reschedule her? You know, because dentists give all these concessions to people that are close to them, friends from high school, all that kind of stuff. And it causes problems in your practice. The data is unemotional. It's just data. And it allows me to say to a patient, Mrs. Jones, it looks like our schedules aren't matching up. Let's do this. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But you also want to communicate and calibrate with your team in the morning huddle about who the right people are for your practice. Here's a great one. This one is a whole hour that we could talk about this. But I will tell you, my favorite one is if you're a hygienist, listen to this. You can say, okay, listen, I got two patients that are just not great for our practice. Dr. Barrett, can I free them up today? You know, what we're doing is we're constantly calibrating. We're calibrating in the huddle about who the right people are for the schedule. We're talking about openings tomorrow, the next day, the next week. And you can often fix the schedule in the schedule in the mornings. It's so awesome when you can get everybody thinking in the morning. I'll share my favorite story is I was in a practice in New York. And a dentist had a huge restorative appointment blowout. And I was actually in the huddle. And the hygienist goes, I got Nancy coming in for a hygiene appointment at 10. I'm going to tell her to throw Bill in the car. He's got to get that dentistry done. And they got him in. Like, it was right. He's coming. Throw your husband in the car. Like, I'm like, that's brilliant. And Dennis looked at me and goes, that's how you fix the schedule. You fix it in the morning. So it's kind of cool to see that stuff. And then I think it's important that you have a cancellation fee, but you never use it. You should always have a cancellation fee. It is your line in the sand. It is your boundary. It's $75, $100, but never, ever, 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 ever use it because you are now entering lose-lose. It's the fastest way to get a one-star Google review. And you can just search the internet. There's a ton of them. Like, this doctor needed the $100 more than I. My dog died. Rah, rah, rah. I mean, it's just, you're getting into a very dangerous, and really the $100, you're not making any money on it. It's a lose, lose, lose thing. So don't
use it. But we talked yesterday about what is the purpose of it, right? It's certainly not, you're not recouping what that hour would have been or that 2 hour appointment would have been. And so if the purpose is to help the patients modify their behavior, that's not going to do it. So going back to what we said earlier, building value for the appointment, having open communication, setting the expectations with your patients about what that looks like so that they are not, there is no reason to cancel. And then sometimes the patients think that's, you know, oh, it's okay, I'll just pay the fee, you know? And so now all of a sudden we're giving them permission to cancel because they just have to pay a fee and they'll be all done. So I think we have to think about what is the purpose? What are we trying to do or communicate with this fee? And for me personally, and we talked about it yesterday on the study club, I would much rather have the patients in the chair and hope, you know, modify their behavior ahead of time. The other thing too, is we can't just start this on Monday. We need to have a system in place. We need to know exactly how we want to communicate it. Our whole team needs to be calibrated. And then we can expect the patients to live up to our standards. But we can't just start calling people, you know, A, B, and C patients or not scheduling them when they had no idea what the process was in the beginning.
Yeah, totally agree. And if I worked your front desk, you'd fire me in a day. But I would say, hey, listen, Mrs. Jones, we do have a cancellation fee. I'm not going to apply it here. But in the event this happens again, I may have to, you know, charge you. Now, even if it happened again, I still wouldn't charge it. But again, your effort here. Now, you got to remember, we're further down the road here. We're trying to modify bad behavior. So I'm a big fan of telling people the rules up front. And then when they don't follow, we're going to do as much as we can to modify the behavior. And if we can't, then that's okay too. Love that, Chris. Love that. And so what do we do when we have these short-term changes in the schedule? So who wants this one? Miranda, Chris, give me an idea. Where do we go here? How do we think? Because, all right, Chris, you go.
So just going through your bullets here, do we accept cancellations on phone and text? The answer is no. never. Even when you're sending out your confirmation emails, texts, whatever it is that you're doing, please do not allow there to be an option for the patient to cancel. So if they cannot make the appointment, they need to call the office. Like, we have to make the easy hard, right? Like, it is so easy to just cancel on the machine, but that, I mean, who has a machine anymore? But I think showing my age, but I think we have to make it hard for them, right? And I shared yesterday when I was working clinically, if I had the time, if, and my hygiene patient was canceling, our office manager would try, would come and get me, and I would get on the phone with the patient, and they were just like, okay, I'll be there. I'll be there. So, you know, making it hard for the patients to actually cancel.
Yeah. Barrett, I love yours too. So what was the protocol when patients canceled on you restoratively?
Yeah. You don't have to be mean about this or charge right. people a bunch of money, but it's very easy to let people don't want to let you down. So if they're canceling and you say, yeah, no problem, let's get you back next week, that sends one message. Another message is, ooh, darn, we're expecting you. Is there any way you can make it? No, okay, we understand. I'm going to let Dr. Straub know that you're not going to be here tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. And now all of a sudden that patient thinks he or she's just going to call Susie at the front desk. No one's going to know. They assume we're all crazy busy and don't know what's going on. And we just see patients and they don't think that we're going to know that you missed it. And we do. And so to know, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cancel and she's going to go tell Miranda, my hygienist. Miranda's not going to be happy. She's going to go tell Dr. Straub that I'm going to miss that 2-hour appointment. Oh, now, if anything, I'm going to be there. Or I now know, even if you let me cancel, I now know that it's a big deal. I don't want to disappoint people. I'm going to show up next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great point. Miranda.
So one of the questions in the chat speaks to this, I believe. Madeline was asking, is there any good language instead of saying it's okay when they call, and especially if they have a sob story? So anybody want to take that on?
I'm happy to. So not all patients behave the same way. A good reason why you're tracking the data is that you know what type of patient you're talking to. Let me give you an example. When it's an A patient and they're canceling for the first time, you're going to respond with empathy and reinforce their behavior. You're going to say, Miranda, this is so unlike you. You always make your appointments. Are you okay? That's what I'm going to say to somebody who did it the first time. But if it's the 11th time, we're not going there. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to make you struggle. And there's no appropriate way other than like, wow. I like putting patients on hold for two reasons. Number one, if they cancel, because you're going to gather yourself and figure out, is this an A patient, B patient, C patient? Because I'm going to respond three different ways, possibly. A, empathy. C, I'm like, we're drawing a line in the sand. We're not going there. The second way I like to put them on hold is if you wanted to gather yourself and it's a new patient. So it's good because you can hear people practicing their lies when you put them on hold. You can hear them. Like, if you listen to recorded phone calls, they go, I'm like, oh my gosh. And they're like rehearsing what they're going to say when you get back on the phone. You can feel them sweating. And here's the bottom line. It is not okay to cancel. It's not. Even with a text. Now, I have a big beef with automated reminders because everything, and I do mean everything in the world, is programmable, 100% programmable. And what that means is if your patients are just writing C, cancel, no show, sick, blah, and they're just hiding behind the text, here's the message. Oh, no, 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 no. Hey, little boy, if you're going to cancel, you're going to call me and tell me you're going to cancel. So here's what I want you to do with your automated reminder. When you send out automated reminders, make sure that if any inbound text comes, it's a responding text that says, this service is purely to remind you of your appointment. This service does not accept any changes in schedule. In the event you'd like to change an appointment, please call back during the day and ask for Betty. We're so happy to help you. People now have to man up or woman up to say, hey, listen, I'm going to cancel and I want you to tell me to my face because I'm going to guide you in this whole process. I'm also going to try to recover the appointment. So that's an important thing. I could go off on this one too. I've got a big beef with the whole, like, don't worry, we'll put you on a list. If somebody's canceled 11 times, you're not going on a list and you already owe us $1,100. And so now I'm grabbing mud from the bottom of the river whenever there's a cancellation. If you've canceled more than four times, here's what we're going to do. Why don't you call me on a day where you know you can make it and I'll do my best. I am not going to chase you down and chase you down. The onus is now going to go on you because this is the fourth time this has happened. And if you want, if you call me and you go, today I'm free and I could get those two crowns done, I can find a way maybe to get you in that process. So I think it's just important to think differently. Anything
Kurt, you this is why you need to track it. And
right.
So you say, Mrs. Jones, it doesn't look like our schedules are working together. There's been three or four cancellations. I'll tell you what. Call me when your cat is no longer having tummy issues and we'll get you into the dental office, you know, and I'm going to let Dr. Straub know you can't make it because of your cat. And you call us when you're ready. And that is a great way to not kick them out of the practice, but kind of put the onus on, like, we're here for you, but call us. And that often they will call you, and it helps rehabilitate some good people that you've just enabled to behave in a bad way.
Yeah. I think a great one is when you, I love that. You can also pause, go, wow, that was a 3-hour appointment. Is there anyway, you can make it in today. It won't get all of them, but you're going to have 20, 30% go, I think I can make it, you know, there's
a question in the Q&A that kind of pertains to that. And before I go right there, I'll say, I like to say, when you were just saying that the patient's practicing what they're going to say on the other end of the phone to cancel, like, well, then we should also be practicing what we're going to say when a patient's attempting to cancel. And I like exactly what you said, which is like, oh my gosh. And our teams that I used to work with would have it. It was written out at the bottom of the computer. Oh my gosh, John, I'm so sorry to hear this isn't going to work. We were just chatting about your appointment today at Huddle. Chris is going to be so disappointed because she was talking about how excited she was to see you. Is there any way you could maintain this appointment?
I love that.
In regard to that big appointment time, there's a question. How do you feel about cancellation fees for those same day appointments that cancel with a giant time slot? I think I know what you're going to say, and it might rhyme with preserve. But I'm curious, is there like maybe a preservation fee or something like that?
Someone else answer this one. first of all, why is that happening? You know, that would be my first question. And then you got, Chris, your thoughts on this one.
Well, we talked about it a little bit earlier. For something that is an appointment of that size and that importance, obviously all appointments are important. I would want to get a reservation fee for that. Most of the time, patients are going to be familiar with that with other type of offices. So I don't have a problem with that. What I would say is you have to have a system, right? Everybody in the office needs to know this is what we're going to do. And even from the hygienist perspective, he or she can tell the patient chair side, hey, I know we're going to go up and we're going to talk to Susie about this appointment. I just want to give you a heads up. This is pretty much how we handle this here. So now the patient's hearing it from you. They're hearing it from Susie at the admin station. So I think it's just a matter of do what feels right for your practice and then make sure everybody is calibrated around that system.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. I did sedation, did 3, 4, 5 hour appointments all the time. And you couldn't even schedule unless you paid for that whole appointment, all of it up front. And it was easy because if you do your job to sell the why and sell the value of that dentistry and the patient is in, then they're already going to pay for it. Charging someone for a cancellation fee is always going to negatively affect the future relationship. Always 110%. You might as well just say goodbye to that patient because they will not be there 90% of the time a year later. So, Miranda, you raised
your hand. I was just going to say, this is what that sounds like, because people are going to say, well, how do you ask for a reservation fee? We don't do that now. I think it's super simple. You define within your practice, what are the parameters? you know, 90 minutes or more, anything high production, maybe it's like any, you know, time-wise or dollar-wise. And then for those patients, we say, patient, I'm so ready to help you move forward. I've answered all your questions. Great. So we do request a reservation fee for appointments like this. Most of our patients prefer to just go ahead and take care of it in full, so you don't have to worry about it that day. Some of our patients prefer to do half now, half at your time of service. Which one works best for you? Now, you're going to have about a very small percent that say, I'll just go ahead and take care of it. You're going to have maybe 40% that say, I'll pay you half now and pay half later. And then the other, you know, 50% is going to say, I wasn't even prepared that I was going to need this today. I don't have, what do you mean? And then you just say, no problem. I totally understand you weren't expecting this. What are you comfortable putting down to reserve that time today? Majority of people, anecdotally, $50 or $100. Majority of people, they're going to automatically tell you $50 or $100. And then if they don't or can't, they don't value what you're treatment planning. Like,
and don't put them in the schedule.
Yeah, like Barrett just said, if they can't do it, then that means they're not really on board. Because if they're on board, they'll put a little bit of skin in the game. I'll take $25. I'll take $20 because there's skin in the game. And if they don't, then you don't schedule them. And you're like, well, what does that sound like? I get it. You need a little time to think about it and process that. When can I give you a call and we can follow up so that we can collect that reservation fee and get the appointment scheduled? And they walk out the door without an appointment, but they're not going to break an appointment, especially not a 3-hour one.
That is worse than
not filling this, you know, not having that appointment and that patient schedule. It is worse to pressure them into scheduling when they've already told us that they don't either have the money or value the appointment. So what, I mean, we can almost guarantee what's going to happen 2 weeks later on that day or the night before. We're going to come in and there is going to be a message that the patient is not coming in.
Yeah.
So I would rather let them walk out the door than get them in the schedule for something they're not going to keep, which prevents us from putting somebody else in the schedule who does value their time.
Totally. Love that question. You got three great answers on that. And Barrett, you have a thought? Go. Oh, he's muted.
Not in the presentation. The best way to avoid cancellations of large appointments for large dollar values is sell the dentistry in a consult room.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the time that you're doing the work. Right. Mrs. Jones, I'm seeing a lot here. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you back to give you the time you deserve where I can present all my findings and discuss your treatment options. Now that patient is out of that defensive posture in the chair, she's 4 days later in the consultation room. You've done an amazing job educating. She's visually seeing it. She's curious about her dentistry instead of feeling exposed in that dental chair. And you can say, here's the plan. She goes, yes, I want to do it. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I want to get you scheduled. The first appointment is going to be 2 hours. Here's what we're going to need before we can schedule that. And now you're forming a plan versus someone saying, coming in for a cleaning and then getting treated, you know, presented $10,000 and you saying, is that going to be checked? Like, whoa, slow down here, doc. So if you have a consult room, and you don't want cancellations, use the room and sell your dentistry out of there and commit to people. People do not cancel or no-show when they're committed. They cancel or no-show when they kind of felt like, I'm just going to schedule this thing because I've got to get the heck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So those were four answers to your one question, which was awesome. And here's my answer if you couple them all together. The end of the day, higher thinking on this that includes all of this is like, we teach people how to treat us. We teach them how to behave. We teach them how to show up. We teach them the rules. I love this phrase. Let me share with you how patients pay for dentistry here. Let me share with you how appointments work here. You know, so you're implying this is how it's going to work. And I think that's a great way to think about it. So when people violate you, it's not them. It's us. We didn't establish the clear boundaries. And when they do violate us, the question we have to ask is this patient right for the practice? Now,
there,
again,
before we move on to this one section, there was another question about,
oh, please.
How do we, it says, so if someone who keeps rescheduling or canceling, how do you hold them responsible? And they have to be responsible for their own appointments. And we've said it already, do not put them back in the appointment book.
Yeah.
We constantly chase these people who haven't showed up for 5, 6, 7 times. And we spend a lot of time and energy doing that. And they're telling us, they're screaming that they don't want to be here. So why are we chasing them? So I would put the responsibility back on the patient. Mrs. Jones, just like we said, looks like our schedules are not meshing. This is what we have available. We see that you haven't been able to keep some of these appointments. Here's what I think we should do. You call us on the day you're free, and now you've put the responsibility on the patient.
Brilliant. Now, I totally agree. The thing I would add on top of that is just like, that is not an appointment issue. That's not a cancellation. That's not a time issue. That's a value issue. If somebody's canceled that many times, they clearly, when you spend your time with people that don't value what you do, it affects how you communicate with the people that do value what you do. And you're miserable when it's 50-50 in a day. So like, I hope you're getting this, like, ultimately you want to cultivate a patient base of, if you're a single doc, 1200, 1300 patients that ultimately value what we do. They know the rules, they show up, they pay. That's a fun day. So if it's happening a lot, there's bigger issues going on. Like, we got to teach people how to behave ultimately. So great points. I love the questions too. All right, let's keep talking about recovering the time. So even with our best efforts, you're still going to have some cancellation. So how do we recover and minimize the holes in the schedule? A lot of you have a quick fill system. And if your admin team has a system for filling short notice cancellations or changes, you're more likely to have success. And you have to calibrate as a team. Now, again, I'm big on the quick fill. Like, I'm not just going to fill anybody in there. But coaches, Barrett, you guys have any thoughts on quick fill, better ways of thinking about quick fill?
Well, it should definitely be, it should be made up of reliable patients. Right. What we used to do was we would have a code on our quick fill list. We would have like T830, meaning on Tuesdays at 8:30, this is when this patient is most likely going to be available. So we could easily scan our quick fill list to know if I'm looking for an appointment on Thursday afternoon, I can not worry about calling a lot of people who already told me that that's not their preferred day and time. So it kind of, it gives you a little bit more specificity with expending that energy to call people to come in.
Absolutely.
And what you have pulled up there, Kirk, is just things to think about, all the different ways that you can fill the schedule. There's so many patients sitting there unscheduled in different ways. So could you move someone forward from next week who's eager to come in, and now you have more time to recover for next week versus like tomorrow? You know, are we going to assess patients within our current schedule? Is there anybody on the doctor side that needs hygiene also? Is there anyone in hygiene that also needs restorative? Contacting your priority list, like Chris was just saying, having notes in there about their availability. Use your follow-up systems, hygiene recare, unscheduled treatment, unscheduled new patients. Do you have a follow-up system for that and a list? So there's a lot of patients within our practices that don't have appointments. So there's multiple ways, but you have to decide as a team, where do we start? Okay, we've exhausted that. Where do we go next? We've exhausted that. Where do we go next? So you have a plan to recover that time.
Yeah.
I would even say too, what's really important is sometimes you're, even with all of this great information, you will still have an opening in your schedule. So make it as effective as you can and productive as you can. So have a downtime system for your clinical team. What do I do if I happen to have a free hour at any given moment? And have a list of things, because I'll tell you what, looking at your schedule, putting your notes in, sharpening your instruments, you know, stuff like that could take forever to do. And now you have not been as productive as you could have been with something that gave you some structure around what do I do if I have a free hour? And maybe that is making recare calls so that you can proactively fill the schedule in the future.
Yeah, this is where patient selection is so important, because not all patients are great for your practice. And if you've identified an ABC system, if I'm working the front desk, I actually like number one first. Think of it like this. I've got green bricks and I've got yellow bricks and I've got red bricks sprinkled all throughout the schedule. When I have a brick that cancels, no matter what color, I'm going to reach forward to next week and grab a green one and put it in this week. And if I do that systematically for a decade, I'm doubling the production in any week. I'm pulling patients. And that's why when you call, 99% of all dental team members that work the front call the day before or 2 days before. You don't get anybody on the phone. And so what you ultimately do is you just go to the easiest way, which is I'm just going to reach to the bottom of the river, grab some mud, slap it in the practice, slap it right here, because that's easy to do. And what we want to do is give you some tools where you can think. That's why I'm going to be calling at least a week in advance about an appointment. Sometimes you're not going to be able to get them on the phone, but if you can and they hesitate. So if I call 2 weeks from now and I have a big appointment for Dr. Barrett Straub and I say, Nancy, so excited to see you 2 weeks from today. You're going to be here at 8 o'clock. That's a big appointment. Just wanted to ask you a couple questions. And Nancy goes, oh yeah. Shoot, school's out that day. What do I already know? There's a 50% chance she's not going to make it. And so what I can say, thinking, is that sounds like that's going to be a challenge for you. Yes. Here's what I do have. I've got tomorrow. See how I'm taking great patients from the future and I'm putting them currently in the schedule in front of me. It's not perfect, but what I want to do is think about making 1 week better at a time, slowly but surely. And this is where you have to think a little bit. That's why this data is so important. Instead of just putting a patient in there, because not all patients are equal. Some patients bring damaging dollars, which means their dollars that you collect they're better off not collected. So I want to build a practice of the right people long term. So those are some considerations. Now let's talk about KPIs, because again, the data is so important. So we can talk about cancellation, no-show, appointment percentage, recapture rate, and capacity percentage. Now I'll breeze through these, but I put some handouts in here, and Miranda, I got your email afterwards. So, but you know, how these are actually recorded in the software is done differently depending on the software. I would say this: team members need to know how to break an appointment. That's the important piece, is that when somebody cancels, most team members, I've found, just drag appointments. They'll just drag it to another day, but you actually have to cancel it, learn how to cancel it and reschedule it so it actually records some data in there. Anything you guys would add about the data and how it's recorded in different softwares?
Totally just chime in on exactly what you just said and like say it twice is like the way you put the cancellations and broken appointments into your software is determining how they're going to be tracked on the back end. So if you are deleting appointments or if you're just pulling them to the pin board and then putting them in a new spot and it's short notice, then it's not going to be able to track. So like, I'm just going to put it one more time on top of what you said as a reminder to everyone, it's double important that you look at how your software tracks broken appointments and cancellations, and you make those changes appropriately by your software's guidelines.
Absolutely. And my heart goes out to admin team members, because there's not a lot of great training out there except for Miranda's course, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But team members aren't trained on any of this. They're just expected to figure it out and they're doing the best they can up there. So I think it's really important that they're trained on how to break the appointment. Now, another piece of data that's really important is capacity percentage. And if you've been on any of the previous things we've done, we have a capacity tracker. This was version 1.0. We're going to come back to this, but then we also had version 2.0. And now I just put version 3.0. It's the same thing, just a little bit different layout. But what you can do is print this out. So I'm going to encourage you to print this out, either page 11 or page 12, and have all of your providers fill this out for the month. And we're going to walk through how this works. I think everybody should do this. I don't care if you have a cancellations problem. I don't care if you're thinking about PPOs. I don't care if you have the coolest practice ever. You should still track capacity because it tells you what's going on in the chairs. And one thing I'll say about capacity issues is having maximum capacity can mean that every chair in your office is full every day you work, but it doesn't necessarily only mean that. In almost every dental practice we've ever seen, maximum capacity is not an issue of willingness. It is an issue of willingness, not ability. Like some people go, well, our practice would never be that. No, if you learn how to do this and you reinforce it over, every practice can be full at its highest level. All you have to do is do this. Because we share this a lot. And I'll ask people, do you do this? No. It's a great idea. No. Do it. I promise you it'll work. So let's talk about the ACT Capacity Tracker version 1.0. Why is this so important? Anyone want to add?
It tells you the truth, right? So I can say I'm booked out 8 months. I need to hire another hygienist. But if I look backwards and I'm tracking my capacity and I see that my hygiene team has only been 85% full for the last 3 to 6 months, I don't need a new hygienist. We need to kind of retrain our patients and implement these strategies to avoid the cancellations and the no-shows that we're seeing in the schedule. So it gives you that other piece of the data to understand and make that really good business decision.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's how it works. It's real simple. You list the day of the month on the left and then hours available by the provider and then hours that you had butts in the chair. And it's just one sheet of paper per month. You don't have to be doing it every single week, turning it in. Just have each provider, hygienist and doctor, and this is a great one for a chair site assistant to do for the doctor, or the doctor can do that themselves, but take a peek at your capacity. Of the 109.5 hours that I had available to work, how many hours were there butts in the chair? And I like the idea of having it over 95%. Now you can get into advanced concepts like patient selection. But a lot of people are expanding, doing weird stuff with their practices, doing evening hours when they don't have full capacity. And so this automatically tells you the truth, like what Chris said, and you can make countermeasures to this. Now, when you have a hygienist like Sally, who's tracking hygiene capacity, she can post this in the back in the break room, and this will help. So if it's at 90%, that's where we start. And then every single month, we try to make it a little bit better. The cool thing about having two or three hygienists is you're going to have one hygienist probably at 78% and another one at 95%. They can share best practices. What are you doing that you're at 95% and I'm at 78%? And the data will force this process to get better. People that can see this data, you know, if I'm a hygienist in a practice and I'm at 80% and it's on the wall, I'm not thinking 80% again. I'm killing it. I'm thinking, how do I get to 85%? Then how do I get to 90%? And then how do I get to 95%? And when you're at full capacity, now you just have more options. You're also a lot more profitable. One more thing I'll add about capacity. If you have three providers and they're all turning these sheets in at the end of the month and they're below 90%, I guarantee you, you're losing money every month. You're losing lots of money. And it's a lot of effort in the effort gap. Anything else you guys would add about capacity trackers? Are we good on this one?
I think we're good.
I think we're good on this one. So final takeaways on cancellations, because I love this. This is a hot topic. So cancellations are just part of the profession. You got to have a plan on how to manage and minimize this open time. You got to work with your team and create a strategy. And our hope is this handout and this recording, go back to it, use it, calibrate as a team. You don't have to do all of it. Do a few things. Go, okay, we're going to do that. We're definitely going to do that. If you do three things that were mentioned today, I guarantee you your practice will get a little bit better. I'm going to encourage you to use data because it just removes a lot of conversation. You save so much time when we start with data. And when downtime happens, because it will happen, get aligned with your team. Use that downtime positively to do downtime tasks. So call to action here. I'm going to encourage you to use your capacity trackers that are in this handout. I would also encourage you to use that part of the download that has the 10 best practices for reducing cancellations. And again, employ a couple of them at the front. Create a list of downtime tasks that are productive when we do have cancellations. And if you still struggle with this, don't struggle with it. We have a full-time therapist on our team. Her name's Gina. She'll listen to you and we'll help you every step of the way and just give you some type of a plan. And very last but not least, you can join us on March 22nd, which is next week. It is the top administrative program, I think, anywhere. Now, I'm biased because it's very cool. But Miranda, you're going to be teaching that. Anything you would share about the admin program next week?
I love the admin program. You guys have heard me say one of my pet peeves is front desk. You're not a piece of furniture. You're very valuable human beings within the dental organization. And so I just love having such valuable people in the room. And we're going to talk about systems for a lot of the things that really power the practice. So I'm excited. It's already next week. I can't wait. Last minute registration, go right ahead. There's still a little bit of room, so you can still join us.
Yeah.
We do have a few questions too. So if you're up for
please,
it.
Please, let's do it. I love it.
All right, great. So somebody wanted us to elaborate on more on not charging a patient a cancellation fee, especially if it's last minute, if they have some, it's the kind of the same that we talked about, crazy emotional story, or they use COVID as a way to not charge them. Would love your thoughts. So I kind of look at this like those avoidable versus unavoidable. Like if someone has COVID or they're sick, like, do we want to charge them a cancellation fee? Like, no. Ariel made a really great point yesterday when we were talking about this, that the people who are actually going to pay the cancellation fee are your A patients, the patients that pay their bills and the patients that show up on time. So do we want to be penalizing those individuals in our practice that really are our exceptional A patients anyway? Because the C patients, they're not going to pay that no matter what. So why are we even charging that? So moving right along though, because I think we did kind of tackle that one with that other question that was very similar. Any suggestions on verbiage to get the patient to tell you why they're canceling if they're not being forthcoming? I'll let you guys take that one on.
Yeah, I think you just got to ask real good question. Now, you can't mess with the COVID thing, but this is a great one. When people say I'm sick, just say, oh no, what type of illness do you have? They'll go, I have a cough, you know, because there are some illnesses in which you can still see them. Correct. I think it's, just, I don't know that I have a perfect answer. I would just get better at the questions and go, oh no. And, ultimately you're going to learn a lot. I do like another thing I would add is the pause. The pause is powerful. There's a lot of power in not talking.
I'll have to just ask like open-ended. So if you don't mind me asking, what's changed since you made this reservation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like you said, just pause and really quiet. Mm-hmm. They need to answer you at that point. So what's changed since you reserved this time with Kirk?
Yeah. There's no shortcuts to this. When you do what we've listed here, you have the data. Whether you're new to a dental practice, you worked there for 20 years, you can quickly gather yourself. And in 1 second, I know exactly who I'm talking to. This is the ninth time she's going to tell me that her, you know, I love this. When somebody says, I have a flat tire, you can look back in the record and go, well, that's four of them. That's like a whole set.
Daisy wanted to know where they could register for the course that we're talking about for my course next week. And so Christina just put that link in the chat. So that link for the registration should be in the chat now. And then there is another question that is, how can we do a reservation fee for patients who are getting treatment with no copay?
Oh.
I have some thoughts on this, but do you want me to jump in or do one of you guys want to take
it? Yeah, you go first on this one.
So my initial thought is if you're taking a reservation fee for these larger or what might be high production appointment, I would question if that's going to be, there's going to be no patient portion, right? So if we're talking 90 minutes or more, we're usually multiple fillings or a crown or periodontal therapy or something that's not going to be covered at 100%. Mm-hmm. Mind you, occasionally it's like a primary insurance, a secondary insurance. Maybe they even have a tertiary insurance. So in the end, they're not going to have an out-of-pocket. So that part can get a little trickier. But for the most part, if you're taking a reservation fee for these larger procedures, they may not have a copay. It looks like someone's making a note right now that says something in regards to let me go into the chat. There it is. Medicaid usually covers 100%. So there's no patient portion on some. We just had this. How do we reserve them? So mm-hmm. You may not be able to.
You might not be able to.
Apply it towards treatment. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you just need to work on value build and getting a really strong confirmation in that moment when you're scheduling that the patient is, you know, committed to that reservation.
Yeah.
It makes
sense. And again, I always want people to think better, but I mean, for the most part, people don't cancel on their friends. They don't. Do you know what I mean? If you really establish a great relationship, for the most part, now cancellations will happen, but for the most part, if they're happening a lot, that is a relationship and clarity issue and systems issue up front. The more you do up front on this, the less you do later. So when you put people in the schedule, it's important. I've often talked about the three commitments. I have a dentist in New York. He has all of his patients sign a piece of paper that says three commitments. Like I've been doing dentistry for 30 years. I always ask my patients to be committed to three things. Number one, We always ask that you're on time. This is busy New York. We're going to be on time. We're asking that you're on time. Number two, we ask that all dentistry is taken care of financially before we start dentistry, because I've been doing this a long time. I know that we try. And then lastly, this is very important. I ask that everything we start, we finish, because I am required by law to finish all dentistry that we start. And in New York, as you can imagine, a lot of people leave for long periods of time and it screws up the outcome of dentistry. And he's like, listen, I get it that you go to Florida, but we got to finish all this dentistry. And if we don't, it'll fail and we have to finish it on a timeline. So I just want to be clear about those. Those were the three biggest challenges that he had in his practice. And a lot of people have adopted that. That's actually been around for a long time. So I think clarity up front is really important, because you mitigate a lot of the challenges that happen later on.
Yeah. And somebody mentioned kind of just after the other person around Medicaid as well. And like, what do you recommend? And I'd say every other factor that we implored today in the webinar, except for the reservation fee. That's what I would say to do with those patients, is like, look at every other factor that we built in today around building value and commitment. And how do you remind versus confirm, and taking everything outside of that reservation fee into play. And there is one more question. Will there be any information available virtually? For example, the course next week, we're across the country. There's no way we'll be able to make it to Wisconsin. So, I mean, I think they should maybe come to the BPA, but what do you guys think?
Yeah, BPA would be great. Or Miranda is also presenting that course in the fall, so you can plan ahead. I can actually put that in the chat real quick too. Let me get that one in there.
And Milwaukee is actually a really great place to come visit. I'm not going to lie, I'm not from the Midwest, but you are very nice people. And I was like, what are we going to do in Milwaukee? Oh my gosh, it's such a fun town. So like, take a little trip, come to Milwaukee in the fall instead of next week.
Yeah, I'm very biased with this course. I think it's one of the best courses you could ever have your team and yourself take, because people always say, well, can you teach my team members how to collect money and how to talk? And I'm like, yeah, but what's really even better is we're going to teach them how to think. We can do all of that, but when you can get people to think, that's when it becomes fun. And a lot of times dental team members haven't been put in an environment where they're like exposed to really good thinking, because the cancellation is not the issue. It's what's behind it that's the issue, or what's causing this. It's so powerful. You start to move from training people to developing people. Shout out to Chris Mazzola for that. Like, developing people is about growing them as human beings. And so if you come to Miranda's course, you're going to get a big dose of how we develop people at the front to be able to handle anything that comes at them. I have one goal for anybody at the admin. Sit down and go, whatever happens today, got it. I know where I'm going. I'm going to get some crazy stuff. There's going to be some weird stuff happens over here. I got it. We got this. So I encourage you guys to check it out, whether it be next week or in the fall. And then next webinar, we love that you guys are showing up. More and more people are registering and showing up. So keep showing up. Our next one will be on the 4th. Is that correct, Miranda? And we're going to go into the data. This is powerful. We're going to be talking about how we turn numbers into dollars, data mastery in your practice. We're going through the gaps, all the things that we're learning. We are learning every day, all the time with this data. I sat down with Barrett yesterday. He's like, I am learning so much about this data and how it works. And so we're going to take it apart and dissect it in a way that you can make sense of it. So don't miss this one. This one's going to be a fabulous one. So thank you guys for being on. That was so fun.
Good job, guys.
Great job. So again, utilize your golden ticket. We want to see you guys here at the To the Top Study Club. The replay will be available. Can you post the CE again? I just saw that. There you go. We are here to help. We want you to create a better practice and a better life. So keep showing up. We'll keep bringing it. Hope you guys have a great day. Thank you, everybody. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, and thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.